Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Special. Wow, that was an amazing rollout. Our producer, Michael Bodmer, killed it again. Just the best of the rest. Wait until you see what's in the rest of the show. I'm Rachel Nichols, alongside our ESPN senior writer, Kevin Arnovitz, and the man whose face you just saw all over that montage, 2008 Finals MVP, Paul Pierce. He called game, ladies and gentlemen. We will be bringing you all the best highlights, games, and debates from the past 10 years in this show, so let's get started. When you think about the players that defined this decade, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, those are usually the ones that come to mind, and it's important to note here, we're talking about guys who played their best basketball between 2010 and 2019. So before you yell Kobe Bryant at your television screen, he might not make this list because he retired in 2016 and wasn't playing at his top peak level right before that. So, Paul, given those criteria, who are the guys you competed against all of them that you would say who is your player of the decade?
This is hands down, no argument, unanimously. And if anybody else has something to say, they don't know nothing about the game of basketball. It's hands down LeBron James. Without a doubt. And he's still going. He may be player of the next decade.
The way he's going.
The way he's going at this rate. But it's hands down LeBron James. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no argument here. And it's not just the power, speed, finesse, all the achievements. You know, the best player in any decade or in any league is also a cultural figure, right? Like, he is influential behind. He passes what I call the mom test. Like, my mom has heard of LeBron James. She's heard of Steph Curry. Not sure about Kevin Durant, as wonderful as he is. And he has been, again, he's been a global figure for basketball. And his combination of skills has been the export.
Absolutely. And look, dominated on every level. You also have a guy like Steph Curry in the conversation. I'm with you guys. I mean, it's not a contest. Steph is probably the next closest if we're going to start going down the list. Paul, it's not just that he played so well, two-time MVP during this decade. It's how he changed the game of basketball. He changed the geometry of the court.
Absolutely. You go to these playgrounds. You go to the local YMCA. You go to these AAU games like I do on the regular. And kids are just launching from half court. I mean, this is just the influence he's had on the game. The small ball era, the three-point era, it all begins and starts with Steph Curry.
Yeah. He's kind of a counterpoint to LeBron's power.
Yes.
He sort of changed the range of the game. And we always talk about it and we joke about it. And Mark Jackson, you know, seemed to suggest that, oh, he's a bad influence. No, actually, he is completely the reference point for an entire generation of youth basketball and players.
And we're starting to see it, right, with the guys. You say you see it on the AAU level. We are now seeing it with the kids coming in who have been drafted by the NBA. So many of them have been so influenced by Steph. I will say that there are LeBron fans out there who have been waiting for you, Paul Pierce, to make that kind of statement about LeBron James.
I've always given up
so
to
that
LeBron.
Will be clipped off.
It's
know.
Just people don't like to hear it. I've given them so much props over the years.
Let's get to the All-Decade teams first. Here are the rules for this one. We're judging players again, 2010 to 2019, so the entire decade has to be accounted for. The selections are all-star format, meaning two backcourt, three frontcourt players. So with that said, Kevin, I'm going to start with you because I'm going to let Paul argue with you afterward. Yeah. Give us your all-decade team.
All right, my front court was pretty easy. And mm-hmm. I had LeBron, KD, okay. and Kawhi Leonard. All right. My back, yeah, are we together?
I'm there with you. I'm still with you.
Steph Curry, for reasons aforementioned.
Still on the train.
I've got my final member of this team, Chris Paul. And I have him nosing out James Harden. I acknowledge there is a good case for Harden. I think Chris was the better all-around player. Not only just defensively, the way he controlled a game, the way he controlled possession, the efficiency, mm-hmm. year in, year out. You know, I know, advanced metrics aside, win shares for 48 minutes. Basically, right. for each possession, the amount you're on the court, how much do you influence winning? Number one in the decade was Chris Paul, ahead of Kevin Durant, ahead of LeBron James, ahead of James Harden. Mm-hmm. I just think that possession in and possession out, that's the other guard I want.
Yeah, I mean, there's a small argument, Chris Paul, because he's had a fantastic career. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats. But no one in the last 5 years has finished in second place more times than James Harden for MVP.
I mean,
we could easily be talking about him MVP the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
Easily. He's had to go against historic season. Steph winning 73 games. Westbrook averaging a triple-double. I mean, even last year, Giannis, the things he did. I mean, he's had to really hurdle some real monumental seasons to not get MVP. And he's put up historic numbers. And I've never seen anything like this. Because we could be sitting here talking about James Harden, four-time MVP right now.
Right, but we're not. And I think it's interesting that both of you guys put up all-decades teams that had the same four guys who were champions and sort of undisputed greats. And then with your fifth slot, you both went to a guy mm-hmm. who hasn't won a title mm-hmm. and has different strengths, right? You played with Chris Paul, right? Much more of a defensive
point guard. We
all know,
like we said earlier, James Harden right now is defining a generation with his offensive prowess. The double step back.
Right?
I mean, he's doing things offensively we just haven't seen. And he's going to define this generation moving forward.
What's your pick of that?
I mean, no, and again, listen, there's some bad luck in terms of arbitrary endpoint. Like, mm-hmm. Don't forget the first two years of this decade, James Harden's coming off the bench, right?
Right.
Whereas Chris Paul is at his peak, right? He's at one of the heights of his power. So mm-hmm. I do think. Yeah, I mean, and listen, if the decade were 2013 to 2022, I suspect I will have James Harden on my list. And this is a tough argument. I mean,
I grant anybody who thinks Harden is up there.
This is one of the things here.
Nobody is finishing off this decade stronger than Harden.
That's true.
Individually.
Well, I don't know. Is LeBron James finishing off this decade pretty strong?
we expect that from LeBron.
Some guys. Look, Russell Westbrook, there was a time in the middle of the decade where you'd say, of course Russell Westbrook would be on one of these lists, but the couple of years he's had since then, he wasn't make either one of your lists.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's up there. I mean, it feels weird to feel like I'm insulting a guy I consider the seventh best player, the ninth best player, the tenth best player of the decade. I have Paul Harden Westbrook in that sequence.
Right.
Whew. These are some tough choices. I mean, it's just that.
Average a triple-double.
Not once. Three times.
3 times in a row.
We're taking his greatness for granted because this will never happen ever again.
Right. And this is what happens when you are narrowing down all of these hundreds of players into the top five over a 10-year period. But that's why this kind of show is so much fun.
My gosh.
I want to get to the team of the decade. Is it possible? Is it anyone but the Warriors?
Not for me. And it's not just the championships, the five straight finals. It is, let's remember what the conversation in basketball was in 2014. You couldn't win playing with a jump shot oriented offense, right? You couldn't win playing small. This was gimmickry basketball, and if you wanted to win a championship, you had to do it a certain way. They have completely changed the rules of the game. Similar to what Paul talked about, how, and you guys talked about the geometry of the court and what constitutes a good shot. They have changed the way, and it's not just on offense, defensively. That switching movement,
yes.
that was started by them. They have been the most influential basketball team in recent years.
Not only did they change the game, they came up with the term, I believe, positionless basketball.
Now
they gave that guy who didn't get drafted 15 years ago a position. That tweener, that guy you didn't know if he was a forward, a guard, or a center, or this. Now that guy is so valuable in NBA. And we're talking about guys like Draymond Green, a guy who doesn't have a great jump shot, not a great athlete, but there's so many other things. Well, that guy wasn't getting that draft or wasn't even in the league 15 years ago.
It is going to be amazing to try to explain to later generations just the absolute dominance when that team walked in the building at the height of the Kevin Durant Warriors and what it felt like. And then look, the guys themselves have said it. Draymond has said, we knew we were winning when we got off the bus. When you have a team like that, they are the team of the decade. Coming up, we're going to show you the Jump's top 10 plays of the 2010s. You won't want to miss this. This can't be any better than that opening montage.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. He looked. And he licked his lips.
Oh,
we're going to have that.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Ooh.
Here are the Jump's top 10 plays of the 2010s. Now, before you tweet us all upset, listen to the rules, please, for this segment. This countdown is not going to include anything from our top 5 games coming up next segment because that's just no fun. Also, it's the top plays, not the top moments. So please just remember that and enjoy because it's so good. Let's get started with number 10. Here's Gerald Green with an insane windmill off the alley-oop in 2012.
He's got a lot of these.
I mean, right? He has more highlights than any other non-superstar of this decade, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. G-Money. That's what we used to call him in Boston.
Right?
G-Money.
And he was out of the league playing basketball in the driveway with his dog before the Rockets picked him back up. Ooh. Let's look at number 9. Earlier this year, Dame waved bye-bye-bye to OKC in the first round with this 37-footer.
That was one of the greatest playoff shots.
In one of the greatest statement shots.
Yeah.
He ended the franchise as we knew it. They broke up after this
game. Look at his face, though. It was just like, I wouldn't have been able to be that calm. I would have been, like, yelling or running somewhere. He's just like, bye.
He's like the Barry Sanders
this
of
look,
the NBA.
Right there. Yeah. Right there.
Look at that.
There.
Look at that.
Right there. Well, he was getting trash talked that whole series, and there's no better trash talk than that. Number 8, 2011.
Oh,
Dwayne Wade spin two-handed jam over our friend KP. Sorry, Kendrick.
Me and Perk never talked about this one.
Yeah, does it say? So he just
I think Perk I'm scared to talk to Perk about
no,
this.
No.
You know what Perk would say? He's like, that's what you're going to get when you're a shot blocker.
Uh-huh. That is what he would say. But Dwayne Wade would say, that's what you get when I'm the Flash. All right. Number 7. Take a listen, guys.
Go. Rebound taken by Iguodala. They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry. Way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry with 6/10 of a second remaining. The brilliant shooting of Stephen Curry continues.
That was the shot that was sort of the most emblematic of, he can shoot from anywhere and change the game.
And that
was
season.
The one.
That was a 73-win season as well.
That,
and that was just everything about that season
unanimous.
Right there.
Right? That was it. I think that's one. And Mike Green's call was tremendous.
Right, and if you wanted to put one play in a time capsule and said, hey, this is what the Warriors were about, that was the play.
Right, absolutely. Well, that was what the first iteration of the Warriors were about. Very different. Number 6.
Good call.
In 2010, Blake Griffin invented the Mozgov with this poster jam. Some disrespectful hand placement on.
Give me a Mozgov mule.
But you know what? This was
You don't want one of these because look what he does with his hand. Yeah, that's.
This was also one of the first social media plays, right? Like, this is only 2 years into the smartphone. And I remember this being the dunk where it was like, hey, you're watching it on your phone, sending it to everybody. It was like the first social media dunk.
And it still plays today. You can see it.
Come
number
on.
5, 2018, LeBron throwing the hammer down on Nurkic.
LeBron still got it.
This was in year 15 of his career. He's in year 17 now, but come on. That was ridiculous.
That was mean.
Ageless force there.
And over a large man who knows how to block a shot. Nope, sorry. I'll just be doing that.
He's still doing it.
Woof.
Takes your breath away. Look, you just have to just sit back and watch.
Uh-huh. All right, let's take a listen to number 4. Here we go on this one.
I'll show you how to coach. Here comes Chris Paul. The lob. The jam! Oh, what a monster jam by DeAndre Jordan!
That face is amazing. DeAndre just obliterating Brandon Knight back in 2013. That man has a family, and yet, woof.
And the great disintegrated.
And a great lob roller call,
right. Oh,
I might add.
Absolutely. Oh, if that happens to your teammate, Paul, do you even say anything, or do you just
you know what?
Something
like that did happen, because LeBron did that to Jason Terry.
Yeah.
You guys remember. The same play, lob, and disintegrated him.
Woof. Number 3, James Harden dropping Wes Johnson.
Oh, my goodness.
This is, I mean, come on. Again, we're going to show it up close again because my favorite part of this is...
You love this.
He licks his lips after dropping him. He looks at him, drops him, looks at him, and the man licks his lips and then makes the shot. I will never get over this as long as I'm watching basketball. It is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal.
Number two. Derrick Rose, two-handed jam over Goran Dragic, 2010. Please take it in. Pre-injury, Derrick Rose. Yeah. The whole decade would have changed, Paul, right?
If he didn't get hurt, I wonder who would have been more athletic, him or Russell Westbrook.
Ooh, that's a good cut.
That's a good argument.
He was on track to be one of those guys, one of those guys that when he's in the building on the road, there's more revenue, there's more everything, there's
youngest
more buzz.
Youngest MVP ever.
Passes the mom test, everything.
All right, number one. Let's listen, number one.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
This is amazing because, of course, we just saw this replayed in the Raptors' tribute to Kawhi Leonard, his buzzer beater. It's the first buzzer beater in Game 7 playoff history, which was amazing to think about. It had never actually happened, even though you've all done it in your driveway, in the last second.
I was there. I got to write the story. It was fun.
How about Kevin Harlan
right?
on the mic? That was... awesome.
What is this? Just amazing.
In the squat. That picture of like...
Waiting.
Right.
You know, we've had conversations on the show of what is the best shot of all time, right? What is the best playoff shot of all time? There's an argument for Kyrie Irving hitting that Game 7 shot that brought a team back from 3-1. We've got Ray Allen's shot with the Heat. We've got Michael Jordan, that shot in Utah, right? And it's almost always when you're having these debates, it's an NBA Finals shot, right? It has to be. That's when the stakes are the highest. And yet that shot with Kawhi has been elevated and I think is almost, maybe not if it's not in that conversation, it's at least in the neighborhood because of what it meant for the franchise. Mm-hmm. It led to their path to a championship.
Right, absolutely.
And just that moment.
And it was a
so
sudden
incredible.
Death shot, right? Like Game 7 ended a series.
Situation had never happened before in the history of the NBA. All right, we're not done with the countdowns yet. Coming up, we count down the top five games of the decade. Now, you know this one's going to be on the list. Find out where when the Jump's All-Decade Special returns. We are back with the Jump's top five games of the decade. These are the moments that shook the basketball world over the last 10 years. Let's check out number five, the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6. I'm so sorry,
Paul. Why do
you
have to remind me?
Yeah. LeBron, the Heat, facing elimination against your Celtics. LeBron went thermonuclear, 45 points, 15 rebounds.
Oh, my God.
What do you remember about that game?
I don't know what to say.
Here's
our chance to get back to the finals.
Right, this was it for
at
you guys.
At home, this was our last hurrah, and this guy just goes all time on us. I mean, this game really defined LeBron going forward.
Yes.
It was like, can he get over the hump?
Yep.
Can he be that guy?
Lost in the finals,
is he clutch?
Spectacularly the year
you know,
before.
All these answers, all these questions were answered this game for LeBron.
Right. He did not have a Heat championship yet.
No. Absolutely not. Did not have a championship yet. Then at number four, the birth of Game 6 Clay. This was the moment. The 2016 Western Conference Finals, 11 threes. This is still a playoff record.
I'm not sure. This is
how
a good game.
How can you argue with this?
I don't know if this was very memorable for me, though.
How can you argue with this? This changed the fate of the league.
That's right. See, I mean, that's the thing, Paul. It's not so much the spectacle. It's what this game did. If it goes the other way, Katie doesn't go to Golden State. Oklahoma City might win a championship, and that changes that.
This game don't do it for
This was the butterfly.
He hit 11 threes.
I'm going with Dirk Nowitzki, 2011 Finals, Game 6.
Game 2 even.
Game 6. Game 2, Game 6. Whatever one you want to Dirk Nowitzki. Give my man some love. Versus the Heatles.
I'm just
this
saying.
This is a one-man show versus the Heatles.
This did not change the fate of the league.
This game
Klay
right
Thompson
here.
From his fingertips.
This game. Game 2.
Because of
this
that.
Right
I love
here.
That shot.
This right
I love
here.
That. That's Game 2.
This was way more memorable. Game 2 double. Oh, my goodness,
all
you
right,
guys.
So number three, the final day of the 2016 regular season.
I'm having a nervous breakdown.
Kobe dropping 60 in his farewell performance. Paul, you battled with Kobe in the finals. What did you think while you were watching the
end of this? I was in Phoenix with the Clippers, and the game was over. The arena was empty. The reporters were gone, and we sat there and watched him.
In the locker room?
In the locker room. We sat here and watched him. I will never forget this day. I will never forget his farewell game, and I will never forget when he scored 81 where I was at.
Oh, I covered this game, and I went up to Shaquille O'Neal afterward, because remember, they brought a bunch of his old teammates back. And I said, what did you think? He goes, I saw him at halftime, and I said, you better go for 50. And he said, and the mother bleeper went for 60.
I mean, ever a moment where a player was truly himself at the ultimate moment.
It was so fitting and so much fun. Number two, it's Ray Allen, game six of the 2013 finals. This is one of the most clutch shots in the history of the league. Yeah. Shout out Chris Bosh for getting that rebound as well. Kevin, what do you remember about this one?
I actually called this on the show memo. I said this is the yellow ropes.
The yellow rope game.
This is the yellow rope game. Get those bleeping yellow ropes out of here. It completely changed. It was the most heartbreaking loss. I mean, it totally informed the way the Spurs just had the offseason and the next season. It was just, I can't remember a game where fate twisted more improbably at a single moment than this one.
Changes how we remember Ray Allen, too.
At the moment, we weren't on speaking terms for reasons of him going to the Heat. But this shot was so great. I haven't talked to Ray Allen in over a year. I actually called him and told him congratulations.
Wow.
That was one of the clutchest shots I've ever witnessed in my life.
That is amazing. Number one, LeBron's block, Kyrie's shot, and the Cavs coming back from a 3-1 deficit to win the only title in franchise history. Paul, you were there that night.
This was something to witness. This was the greatest game I've ever seen LeBron play. Well, second greatest game. Game one of the last finals he was
right, that he didn't even win. Yeah,
he didn't win. That was the first. But this right here, clutch once again. I mean, the greatest block heard around the world.
You know what? That was my favorite play of the decade. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about the game is it was a little bit like that 2010 game seven you were in. It was actually kind of an ugly game, which made every moment down the stretch like it was a 1-0 baseball game.
By the last 3 minutes,
a war
of
attrition.
This was the stakes, though.
It was just tremendous. Greatness. Again, has never happened before in NBA history. No, all right, we can look at those highlights of those games forever, but I do want to spin forward before we leave you guys. Influx of young talent all throughout the league. Kevin, give me your players that will define the decade to come.
Giannis, Luka, probably AD, maybe Embiid if he stays healthy. Trae Young and Morant have an outside shot, as does Zion. I worry about his durability.
Giannis, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Ja Morant, and Luka Doncic.
You know what? The number one guy you both said? Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the guy. All right. Thanks to Paul and Kevin for joining me. We look forward to what's next in the NBA in 2020. This is your decade.
Man.
See you soon.
I already know.